We're going to turn back to the book of Proverbs in chapter number 2 again tonight, Proverbs chapter number 2. And we're going to begin reading in the 10th verse as we continue to look at the Proverbs in Scripture, Proverbs chapter 2 and beginning in verse number 10. When wisdom entereth into thine heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee, to deliver thee from the way of the evil man, from the man that speaketh froward things, who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice to do evil and delight in the frowardness of the wicked, whose ways are crooked and they froward in their paths. And let's have a word of prayer tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask your blessing upon the message this evening. Holy Spirit, I yield myself to you the best that I know how. Father, I pray that you would take the Word of God, that you would minister to us personally and individually, that you would mold us and shape us into the image of Christ. And Father, that your will would be done in our life. May we have a better perspective from having looked at the Word of God tonight. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Of course, we have been talking about in the book of Proverbs the wise approach to life. And that is, of course, the context of our passage that we read this evening is the wise approach to life. And this is an approach that wants to do right. And this is not an easy thing to maintain. It is very easy in our life to get to the point where we don't care what is right and we want to do what we want to do. And this is a constant battle in life. But the wise approach to life is the approach that wants to do right and is especially open to influence from godly, loving authorities, including, of course, God himself in their life. It is evidenced by a love of truth, wanting to know the truth, wanting to see things as they really are. And let me just say, in this world, for the most part, we don't want to see things as they really are. The truth is harsh sometimes to us because it grates against our human nature sometimes. And so we don't want to know the things that are true. We want a soft life where there are no consequences for actions, where things like hell are unthinkable. But the reality of the situation is life is a wonderful gift from God, but it also, if not taking into his laws and principles, can be brutal, as we see all around us, the brutality of life and death. And so these are just reminders of heaven and hell. And so wanting to know the truth, a love of truth, and a desire to know what is right to do, this is supposed to be the attitude we approach life with. It's especially important to young people. If I could just get our young people to want to do right, that's a huge step in the right direction. Matter of fact, I'll say that the kids that I grew up with in church, you could tell often in their teenage years, some of them wanted to do right and some of them did not. And for the most part, that's played out in their life, for the most part, and with some exceptions, of course. The point is, we've got to cultivate that desire to know true facts, the desire to do what is right, not what I want. If I have this approach, I will find knowledge. God has set this world up in such a way that if I want to know the truth, it is available to me, all right? And so I will gain knowledge, true facts. I will gain understanding with this approach, which is thorough knowledge. And I will gain wisdom, which is using knowledge and understanding to accomplish meaningful tasks. And so it's skill in using knowledge and understanding to accomplish meaningful tasks. And so as I do this, this wisdom will begin to protect me from harmful things, not just harmful things outside of me, but probably mainly harmful things inside of me, all right? These harmful appetites that could cause harm in my life. Let's look at verse number 12. So we see, verse 10 again, when wisdom entereth into thine heart, a wise heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, you want to know truth, discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee. Discretion is seeing things clearly. It allowed you to avoid pitfalls, of course. And so discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee, to deliver thee from the way of the evil man, from the man that speaketh froward things. And so notice, he's not delivering me from the evil man in this particular verse, but he's delivering from the way of the evil man. He's keeping me from evil. And so when we pray, or when we see the example prayer of the Lord's prayer, deliver us from evil, it's in keeping with this same idea. When I get delivered from evil, it's not necessarily the evil of others. It is ultimately my evil, because the evil of others cannot truly harm me without God's permission. But my evil that I do to others will always harm me unless God's mercy comes through. Because that's the consequences of what I've done. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And so he's delivering me from the way of the evil man, the path of evil. Evil, of course, causing harm to others. Let's go to Genesis 44. Sometimes even in the Bible, God himself does evil. It doesn't necessarily mean bad intentions all the time to a certain extent, but it means any harm to others. And so, in a certain sense, God harms sin or punishes sin and thereby harms others. His intentions are good. He wants to bring them to a saving knowledge of Christ, but it still causes harm and eventually causes harm for eternity in hell. Genesis 44 and verse 34, we just see a use of the word here. For how shall I go up to my father, and the lad be not with me, lest peradventure I see the evil that shall come on my father? And so evil is simply, basically, it's harm to others. But in particular, in context of our passage, it is harm to others to benefit myself and or to just see them be harmed. In other words, it is not any kind of righteous harm to others, but rather harm to others for no just reason. And let me just say, it's wrong. It's not always wrong to do evil. All right, it's not always wrong to do evil, okay? Someone breaks into your house, they're about to kill your family, you shoot them dead, all right? Justly, okay? But it is often wrong to do evil, all right? And in context here, it is certainly wrong to do this kind of evil, the way of the evil man, the one who wants to harm others to benefit himself. And this is something we do from a very young age. If children have this tendency of selfishness to say, I want to play with that toy, so give it to me and take it from someone else, not concerned about their loss, so to speak, only concerned about my gain. This is the kind of evil that God is talking about, not in toys, but in bigger things than that as we grow older, all right? So evil often has the intent of benefiting the one doing the evil. Now, sometimes I can just do evil to see others suffer. Of course, that's wickedness. But if I'm doing evil to see others suffer, or if I'm doing evil to benefit myself at their expense, both things are sinful and wrong. But there is justified evil, which is, of course, harming someone in self-defense. It's just like the Bible says, thou shalt not kill. That's the command. But it can be justified in certain circumstances, such as self-defense. And so this is the concept here, all right? And so this having this attitude and its corresponding results, the attitude of a wise approach to life, which helps me gather knowledge and understanding and eventually wisdom, so I begin to accomplish meaningful tasks for the Lord. This will deliver me my knowledge, my understanding, my seeing things clearly, my seeing the things as they really are. You want to know how they really are? Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. You want to know how they really are? Every time I willfully sin against God, I'm hurting myself and everyone around me. You want to know how they really are? Every time I do right when no one sees, I am benefiting myself and everyone around me. You want to know how to, you want to know how crazy we are in the world today? We think that we're supposed to be protecting the ones that are doing wrong today. In America even, we want rights to do whatever we want, not freedom of conscience to do what is what we believe is right. That's what America was founded on. And so the point is, this happens on a global scale in a country, but it also happens in my life. I can get to the point, if I'm not careful, where I don't care what is right, it's just what I want. And I'll say, the greater the difficulty I'm in, the more possible it is, the more likely it is even, that I might resort to these kind of things. So having the right attitude and its corresponding results will deliver me from the temptations to do evil to others. Because doing evil to others, unjustified evil, causes God's judgment upon me. Psalm 34. I will reap what I sow. It will be the judgment of God if I do unjustified evil to others, either just to see them suffer or for my personal benefit. I will bless... verse 16, that's why I... My printer isn't working very well. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. And so it's very clear in the Bible. Just read it cover to cover and you'll find something. And that God hates unjustified evil. And that God will punish unjustified evil in my life. You can mark it down. You can put it on the calendar. You can take it to the bank. And if I will see things clearly, I'll recognize this, and this will keep me from going down that path. And although it might even help me to go down that path, it might even benefit me to go down that path in the short term. It might look like, boy, this would be the best course of action, because if I do this, I will pull one over on that other fella. I will get by with something. I will not get caught. And so they will pay the price for what I've done, and I will be benefited. No, you won't. It just doesn't work that way. You never will be benefited. If someone breaks into our house and steals from us, they harmed us a little and themselves a lot. That's what happened. That's just the way it works. That's reality, all right? That is reality. And then they give me an opportunity to harm myself by getting bitter and angry and whatever else might come from that. But God is against those that do unjustified evil. If I see the big picture, if I understand it from God's perspective, if I want to know what's right to do, I will realize evil, unjustified, is wrong, and I will stay away from that path, of course. So a wise man realizes that God is the judge of my motives and actions, and that God rewards me accordingly. Proverbs 15. And this is why when someone does evil to me, that's irrelevant to God's blessing. It's an opportunity to be blessed more by God. Because the Bible says, bless them that curse you. Why? Because they don't determine your future. He does. That's why. So bless them that curse you. Why? Because God, I'm trying to get God's attention. That's what matters. Not that person's. They can do me no real harm. They can only do me temporary harm. But God's blessing or cursing on my life will be the ultimate a judge of my life. Proverbs 15 in verse number 3. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. God is marking it down. God is keeping track. God is watching my reaction. God is seeing if I am willing to harm others to get ahead myself, or if I am willing to spend and be spent for others, as Paul said. Although the more we love, the less we be loved. Am I willing to suffer for righteousness' sake? To take a loss. If I take a loss on earth for righteousness' sake, I get a credit in heaven, so to speak. I get a reward in heaven. And so I should rejoice when I fall into diverse temptation. Just say, why? It's cha-ching in heaven, so to speak, right? It's God is rewarding us or laying up treasure for us. And it's a crude way to say it, but it's still the same idea. If I could see things clearly, when someone does evil to me, that would be an opportunity to do good and get blessed of God more. That's what it would be. If I could see things clearly, if I had this wisdom. Notice that deliverance in this case. He delivers me from the way of the evil man. Deliverance in this case is not from others, but rather from myself, from the opportunity to harm myself. And this is the greatest deliverance, because the Bible teaches, if I sow to the flesh, I'll reap corruption or loss. If I sow to the Spirit, I'll reap life everlasting. And so the Bible teaches that if I continually walk that path of evil, my life will devalue and devalue and devalue and devalue. And let me just say, there are literally people all over the world today that have walked that path so long that they feel their life is worthless. Not by God's estimation, but by their own estimation. So I'm explaining that this is how we end up there, by walking down these wrong paths in life, or one way that man ends up there. And so, in a certain sense, the only true harm that can come to me is self-destruction, me beginning to walk the evil path that God is destroying. You say, what do you mean? Well, the Bible's pretty clear. Anything that comes across my path, God has approved. Read the book of Job. All things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. As a Christian, what's the worst thing that can happen to me, humanly speaking? Someone can send me to heaven, right? Worst thing. So in reality, for a Christian, I cannot be destroyed. I have eternal life. I can only self-destruct. The only way I can suffer loss is through self-destruction, by getting on that evil way. No one can take it from me. I have to give it away myself. Not talking about salvation. I'm talking about my reward in heaven. No one can take it from me. I have to give it away myself. And I do that by getting on that evil path. And so the Bible explains that God, if we will want to do right, if we'll be determined to see things clearly from a heavenly perspective, with the fear of the Lord as the beginning of knowledge and wisdom, that if we have the right attitude of I want to do the right thing, that God will give us the wisdom to understand these things, and it will keep us from the path of the evil man. To deliver thee from the way of the evil man. Now notice, deliver means to save from. It means we were in jeopardy of. You will be tested in this area. Every human being will be tested to harm others. The Bible says very clearly, offenses will come. Let me just say, you will not get through this life without being hurt severely by someone who is evil. You will not get through this life by someone who is acting without someone who is acting in an evil manner, harming you in some way. You won't get through it. You will have opportunities to do evil to others in retribution. This is just the way life is. But God says he can deliver us from this if we have the attitude of, do I want to do what I want? Look, when someone comes up and punches you in the nose, what do you want to do? Punch him in the nose. But what did Jesus say? Turn the other cheek. I was just saying, you have to turn the other cheek to punch him in the nose, right? No, that's not what he was talking about. So he was saying that we are supposed to not render evil for evil. Why? Because their punch in my nose can't really harm me that much. But my punch in their nose can, in a more literal manner in my life than I realize. Now, this isn't to say there isn't times of self-defense, of course, but it is to say that we are supposed to be delivered from the way of the evil man. And then the Bible says in verse number 12, to deliver thee from the way of the evil man and from the man that speaketh froward things. And so the man that speaketh froward things, froward is purposefully deceitful. The deceitful man tries to lead you down that path of evil for personal gain. It's have it your way. It's take care of number one. It's all of the lies of the devil that are to pamper yourself. Just look at most of the ad campaigns of most products and you'll find some idea that you deserve to have it your way, you know, Burger King or whatever. And so the concept is always about us. It's about take care of yourself. It's about make sure that you're all right at the expense of others. It's basically, of course, a worldly philosophy. And it's all lies because it doesn't work. It doesn't work. When you live a self-centered life, you come up empty. You have to give yourself away to really find the meaning of life. And so the froward is a deceitful man, and he, of course, tries to lead us into doing evil to others for personal gain because he is led by Satan, the father of lies. Let's go to John 8 and just be reminded of this. And so we have to be wise enough to understand, and let me say we will, you know, if we are trying to do right, and we are striving to do right, we're not ignorant of his devices. We will see Satan's lies. We will see them out there, and we will know that they are just emptiness and false promises, fool's gold. Why? Because he's a liar. John 8 and verse 44, ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. So those that want to spread lies to avoid reality, all right, the source of that is an unclean spirit, eventually back to Satan himself. And so this is what happened. You say, well, who was he talking to? The Pharisees. What was their problem? They were living a pretty plush life in the midst of the Roman Empire. And they recognized who he was, I think. The Bible's pretty clear about that. That's why he scolded them so harshly. But they didn't want him to be the Messiah because it would turn their world upside down. And so they rejected him and purposely lied about him to try to keep others from believing. And so he said, you're of your father, the devil. And so any thought that comes into my mind that encourages me or justifies evil or wickedness is a thought that spawned in hell itself. Anytime I think, well, it's okay if I do what I know I shouldn't. Anytime that I think, well, it's all right if I pull one over on someone. That's all right. That's just the nature of things. This is not helpful to my life. Of course, the Bible teaches this. Let's look at verse 13. So to deliver thee from the way of the evil man, harming others. I want to stay off that path, especially harming others just for the fun of it, or of course, harming others for personal gain. From the man that speaketh froward things. How do I recognize him? I love the truth. A person who doesn't love reality will want something made up, right? all right? Why do you think science fiction is so popular, right? People don't like reality, right? Why do you think fables and myths and legends are so popular? They're an escape from reality. Television, video games, it's an escape from reality. And so when you don't like reality, you will find something to basically fill your mind, so to speak. And this is true in other ways as well. I'm not saying all those things are wrong in moderation, but I am saying that in general, it's things that are not real. You know, I don't think video games are evil in and of themselves, but you know, it's simulated success. You know, yeah, some kid comes to school. Yeah, you know, I scored 10,000 points on this game. No, you really didn't. You didn't do anything, all right? Just some little things bounced around on a screen. Actually, nothing was actually accomplished. Do you know, y'all, everybody does know that. Some of y'all are like, what do you mean? You didn't really do any. I rescued the princess. No, you didn't. All right? You didn't, all right? It's simulated success. Now, your brain probably got some of the same messages that if you actually did accomplish something. That's part of the problem, right? But you really didn't. And so we have to try to recognize that. And so now, verse number 13. Who leave the paths of uprightness. This is talking about the evil man and the one that speaketh froward things. Who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness. And this verse speaks very loudly about motives. And so it says, who lead the paths of uprightness, equity, what's right. They know they're leaving them. They're leaving them willfully. And instead, they want to walk in the ways of darkness. Now, darkness is ignorance, and ignorance is not always bad. We're all ignorant in some area of life. It just means we don't see clearly in that area, right? But in this case, these people left the paths of uprightness or right and equity, and they willfully chose the paths of darkness. They wanted it to be murky and unable to be seen. Reminds me of what it says in Romans, where, I forget where it's at in the New Testament, but ever learning and never coming to the knowledge of the truth. Might be in Romans, I can't remember now. But the point is that they're always saying, I like the unknown, I like the darkness, so to speak. I like the ignorance that I live in, rather than coming to a knowledge of the truth. I like the imaginary world that I live in, rather than the real world. And so the evil and deceitful man leave. This implies willful intent. And of course, we understand this. James chapter 1. Why does anybody not do what's right? Why do any of us not do what's right? All right? In any area of our life, why do we choose to do wrong when we know better? All right? For some perceived personal gain, right? Pleasure of some sort comes from it. And James chapter 1 and verse 13 reminds us of this. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin when it is finished bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. And so it is the desire, the covetousness of my heart, those human desires that we all possess in life, the desire for fame or fortune, the desire for pleasure or comfort, the desire for these things. None of these things are wrong in and of themselves, but they are supposed to be moderated by my brain. And I'm not supposed to allow myself to cross certain lines to get them. This is them under control or in moderation. And so the evil and deceitful man willingly leave the paths of uprightness. And the paths of uprightness are those who are walking, striving to walk circumspectly, trying to do the right thing. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 5. All right, so when I quit trying to do the right thing, I'm in trouble. I'm headed down a dark path, Ephesians 5, and I'm headed down there willfully. I'm literally saying, I don't care what's right, this is where I want to go. And that's automatically a dark path, because what's right is in the light. I can see that clearly. All right, and so Ephesians 5. And verse number 8, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. And so it really is this simple. If I'm walking on the path of uprightness, I'm trying to do what is right each step that I take. I'm trying to make the right decision. I may not make every step perfect, but I'm on the path of uprightness. You see what I'm saying? And so that's what I'm supposed to be doing. As soon as I decide I don't want to do what's right, I want to do what I want to do, I have now walked off the path of uprightness willfully, and I am beginning to walk on the path of darkness. And so they walk, and of course, it says to walk, so that implies this is what they wanted, in the ways of darkness. They are not interested in what's right, but just what they want. They walk in ignorance, yes, but it is purposeful. It is willful. It is, I want to be ignorant of this. I don't want to know the truth. And let me just say, this is most people, and even us Christians in some areas of our life, we tend to be this way. Just go out visiting and talking to folk about Christ, and you'll find that a lot of people just don't want to have the discussion because they don't want light shined on their illusions, right? They're like someone sitting in darkness in the movie theater and someone flips the light on, and all of a sudden the real world hits them in the face. All right, they don't like it. And so this is the way it happens in life. And so the battle really for me and for all of us as Christians is to strive to make sure we stay on the path of uprightness. We want to do what is right. 2 Peter 3. 2 Peter 3. And this is what I'm talking about here, this willful ignorance. 2 Peter 3 and verse number 3. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts. All right, so why are they scoffers? Because they want to do what they want to do. Why do a lot of people not want to believe there is a God? Because if there is a God, I have to answer to somebody. If there is a God, my actions matter. If there is a God, some things I do are wrong. So knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. But the heavens of the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. And let me just say that now even scientists tell us that this universe is heading to a heat death one day. And so the truth of the matter is that people who don't want to know the truth simply are willfully in darkness. Well, we just don't know. That's because many times we don't want to know. And so sometimes you'll ask somebody when they're about to, you know, make a decision or do something, do you think that's the right thing to do? And let me tell you what happened. I don't know. What does that mean? I know, but I don't want to admit it. Try it on your kids, you know. Kids about ready. Do you think you should have done that? Right? It's, I don't know. Do they know? Yes. But they're willfully ignorant. I don't know. Should have you hit your brother? You know, should have you taken those cookies without permission? Yeah, they know, all right? And let me just say, we're the same way. Should you really be doing that? We don't want to know. We don't want to know. And so it is in our life. And so the Bible teaches that these people have willfully. And we can understand because we, in a small way, see what they're doing in a big way. All right? And we should try to avoid it. Verse 14. This is amazing here in verse 14. The Bible says, who rejoice to do evil. Wow. They rejoice to harm someone else. The word rejoice literally means to be gleeful. And so let me just say, if ever in our life there comes a time when someone else is harmed and we say, yeah, it's not a good attitude. And I don't care if it's our enemy. The Bible teaches it's not a good attitude. We should not be gleeful. These people are. They rejoice to do evil. These people are gleeful when they get a chance to hurt others or to put one over on someone. Oh, I ripped that guy off. Boy, you should be ashamed to say that. Not joyful. Boy, I got away with that. Never should rejoice in those things. We shouldn't. And so this is not the way we're supposed to live. We should never be glad someone else has been harmed. The Bible says even an enemy. And it's a little bit of when the Bible talks about this, it's a little bit of a, for our own benefit, don't be glad when your enemy is hurt. All right? Proverbs 24. Proverbs 24. And I really, in reality, all of this is somewhat about do what's right for your own benefit. I mean, ultimately, that's what it's all about, is it is for our benefit. It just doesn't seem to be right away. But ultimately, in the end, our labor is not in vain in the Lord. Proverbs 24, verse number 17. And so the Bible says, rejoice not when thine enemy falleth, and let not thine heart be glad when he stumbleth, lest the Lord see it, and it displease him. And he turn away his wrath from him. Don't rejoice, or God might quit judging him, the Bible says. And so let him be judged fully for his actions. Don't mitigate his actions by your own rejoicing. And I will say, as a human being, we have to be a little bit humble in this area to realize if God judged us righteously and justly for our life, that no one would stand before him. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. And so, but never be glad when someone else has harm come into their life, because you don't know the big picture of things, and you might displease the Lord. But not only that, the Bible says these people love when evil happens. They rejoice. They're gleeful when evil happens. And they delight in the frowardness of the wicked. And this word delight literally means to spin around in joy. That's what the Hebrew word literally means. And it's so to basically dance around when wrong or when harm comes to others or when wickedness is done. They delight in the frowardness of the wicked. And so the Bible says they spin around in joy when the froward, in the frowardness of the wicked, frowardness is perversion. And of course, wicked means spoiled, bad, good for nothing. And so they dance basically at the vileness of others. They rejoice in the wickedness of others. It reminds me of Romans chapter 1. Let's turn there in verse number 28 and following Romans chapter 1. It's just this idea that we are trying to live our life with the right attitude so that God can bless us. And it's certainly the wrong attitude to be gleeful when others come to harm. Verse 28, "And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient or proper or right here. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them." They are gleeful, they are happy, they are shouting when wickedness occurs. And let me say, this, of course, is wrong. And then finally, verse number 15, and Proverbs chapter 2 and verse 15, "Whose ways are crooked, and they froward in their paths." And this just shows you just how life really works, right? So the Bible says their ways are crooked. So their way is basically what they're shooting for, their path. So you could be on the road to Fargo, you know, and so you're on the road somewhere. So the path is crooked, meaning it's they're shooting for something that isn't right in the first place, right? But even in the midst of their path, whose ways are crooked, and they froward in their paths, they don't even stay on the paths that they have made for themselves. They're really unprincipled in every area. Let me say, you can end up this way in life. People end up, they don't get there overnight. You say, how do you end up a serial killer? How does that happen? You start erasing boundaries in your life. And it's kind of like a runaway freight train running downhill. It just picks up momentum. And let me say, the first boundaries are always the hardest to get over. After you go over those boundaries, it gets easier and easier and easier and easier. How does someone end up a prostitute? How does someone end up a drunk? How does someone end up a whoremonger? How does someone end up a drug addict? How does someone end up? They break down boundaries until there are no boundaries. Their path, road signs mean nothing. Lines in their path, their road mean nothing. Directional signs mean nothing. It's like someone driving down the street with absolutely no regard for anything on the road but themselves. This is how reckless a life it eventually leads to. Even in their corrupt paths, they do not stay true. People can get to the point where they have no scruples, they have no values, and mark it down, when they're headed far down this path, they don't. That's why it used to be in America that you would be very cautious about putting a politician in office whose personal life was a mess, whose immorality was rampant. You'd be very cautious. Say why? Because if they've broken their boundaries in that area, what boundaries are going to hold them? And let me say, in life, it really is true. Now, I'm not saying someone can't get their heart right. I'm not saying some things can't change. They can't get saved, for instance, or get their heart right with the Lord. But I am saying that when we begin to break down boundaries, we are headed down a dangerous path. Philippians chapter 3. And so we should be cautious to break down boundaries. We should be cautious to not have principles that we live by. Instead, we should be trying to do the right thing, and we should be discerning right from wrong. We should have our senses exercised to discern between the evil and the good, the Bible says. We should be striving to figure out what is right and how should I be living my life. Now, I might get some of that wrong, but better to have a boundary somewhere than just remove those boundaries and live that wanton life of nothing's right or wrong. And let me just say, and some of you that are older than me, in the 60s and 70s, we got our higher education basically the thought that there are no absolutes, you know? There's no right and wrong. I mean, we were being, this is the hippie movement and the sexual revolution and all that, and that basically the philosophy and idea that basically morality was just a human construct, of course, coming from the philosophy of evolution. Dangerous, dangerous stuff. Philippians chapter 3 and verse number 18. Philippians 3 and verse number 18. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. The Bible says of these people, their God is their belly. So in other words, boundaries are meaningless. It's, am I hungry right now? I'm going to eat. Do I want something right now? I'm going to have it. And so they're completely unprincipled. And so therefore, you really, they cannot be trusted. Even by their own values, they cannot be trusted. You know, it's like that old saying, honor among thieves. No such thing. No such thing. No such thing. When you lose your values, it is literally like a runaway train rolling downhill, and it just keeps picking up momentum. And so it's so important that we stay on that path of uprightness of saying, I want to do right. Because as soon as we start saying, I don't care, it is a downhill slide. And every bump we hit just carries more momentum and more momentum and more momentum. By the time we hit the bottom, we're going so fast, we are plowing through things that cause us great harm. We are literally living a reckless life. And many people, and even maybe some in this room before they got saved, or maybe, they were backslidden for a while in life, have lived that path and could testify tonight. And this is just a reminder tonight for us to make sure that we are allowing ourselves through the right attitude to be delivered from evil and from all of that harm that can come to us as we recklessly cause harm to others living a wanton lifestyle.